This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good afternoon. Welcome to Health and Living with me, T. Xiaoyik. Now, it's estimated that we spend anywhere between 2 and 4 hours a day on our mobile phones. And that probably means that, you know, we're in that position of sort of, you know, your head's tipping forward to look at your phone, your neck and shoulders kind of get quite tense and all hunched up. And, you know, the numbers, of course, will vary from individual to individual. But if you are a regular mobile or smartphone user, it probably sounds about right. Now, what we're going to be talking about today is text neck, the orthopedic condition that could result from spending too much time on your mobile phone and the kind of posture problems that arise from it, and whether this could lead to more serious problems, and what do we need to do about our posture right now. So my guest today is Dr. John DeCruz, consultant orthopedic and trauma surgeon from Park City Medical Center, to tell us more about this. How are you today, Dr. John?
I'm fine. Thank you so much for having me.
And thank you. Thank you for your time. And this is going to be a very interesting topic, so relevant for every one of us right now, I'm sure. And yes, for all of you listening, you can pose your questions to Dr. John if you are experiencing any issues, especially, I guess, around the neck, shoulders area, or it could extend beyond that as well. That's what we're going to find out. But our lines are open, 03-7733-2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, or you can also tweet us at BFM Radio. Now, text neck, Dr. John, what's this term? Is it in medical textbooks?
Yes, actually, it's not a medical, it's not an official medical term. It's just a term coined by a U.S. chiropractor. His name was Dr. Dean L. Fishman. So he coined this term basically to explain or to give a picture of how the posture of the head becomes in a forward posture. Our shoulders sort of go in, and our neck tends to bend excessively. And this is a condition which makes it worse, especially if we use it for a long period of time. Like you mentioned just now, you know, sometimes we tend to use our phones more than a few hours. So this condition exacerbates that position that we use and we come to adapt.
Is this a position that we would adopt for any other daily activities typically?
Most commonly, I see especially phone users, smartphone users, also those who work in the desk job, sedentary lifestyle, people who work in a lot of tech industry where they need to be with their computers for many hours. I even had patients that described to me that they have to be on the computers for more than 8 hours a day. So just to imagine that, you know, yes.
And is it purely a posture problem? Is it just about us then, okay, straightening up my head, pushing back my shoulders, and then all is good? Or, you know, what are the repercussions of us adopting this kind of posture, like you said, for excessively long periods?
Yeah, it starts with a bad posture, but initially it starts with a bad posture, but eventually you will end up having muscle spasms. You can end up having soreness of the muscle, and it will eventually end up having some pain, mainly in the neck. It goes down to the shoulders, sometimes even can go up towards the head, the back of the head, and that causes a lot of discomfort. And initially, you will not feel it so bad. It's not so obvious. But as time goes, as you continue to continue to sit on this type of position for a long period of time, then eventually patients do come with a lot of pain and discomfort.
All right. Maybe you can take us through the anatomy of the region that is primarily involved, right? And what should be the ideal posture for it. So if you're talking about our head tips forward, our shoulders go in, the neck bends too much, you know, how are all these linked to each other? And what is the ideal posture for them to be in?
Okay, so for an ideal posture or position, it's very easy. You just imagine your ear and your shoulder being in one line. If you look from the side, just imagine your ear, shoulder, and your hip all being in one line if you sit down. Or if you stand up, again, the head, ears, and shoulder should be in one axis. That means in one line. If you stoop forward, if you have excessive forward bending of your head, then you will notice that your ear and your shoulder will not be in one single plane. There are a lot of muscles involved in this position. To make it very simple, there are muscles in the front, which are called flexors. There are muscles at the back of the neck, which are called extensors. So there's basically an imbalance of muscle. So we tend to use a lot of muscles in the front, which are the flexors. You have at least about 6 to 10 group of muscles in the front, and equally at the back, 10 to 14 group of muscles in the back of the neck. So there's a lot of imbalance because we tend to look forward. So there is excessive use of the forward muscles and more of a disuse or lack of use for the extensor muscles. And because of that, the imbalance, the posture, we end up having a condition called text neck.
All right. Why is it then that we feel the strain on the back of the neck kind of going down to the upper shoulders?
Yeah, because when we do this position, this forward head position, there is a lot of stress at the back of the neck. For example, if you look at our head, the weight of our head is around 4.5 kg, right? And if you tend to stoop forward, they have done some studies and it shows that they go by degrees. For example, if you stoop forward and you look from the side, you can go to a degree of even 60 degrees of flexion. So with that 60 degrees of flexion, there is an additional 27 kgs on your neck. So you just imagine that amount of pressure and using something for 4 to 8 hours and doing it on a daily basis. Can you imagine that stress?
So something like almost 6 to 7 times the weight of the head.
Correct.
Okay. So let me just repeat that. If the degree, the angle that your neck is bent goes to 60 degrees, you're putting a weight of 27 kilograms on the neck, when typically your head actually only weighs 4.5 kilograms.
That's right.
That's right. Massive.
So there's a terrible imbalance.
All right. And, you know, why do we not feel that straight away? Let's say within a few minutes or perhaps even 15 minutes, wouldn't we feel it horribly and already know how to correct it?
Actually, our body adapts very well. So initially, you will not feel anything. But as time goes by, as the number of hours increase, and now we see a lot of young children getting involved, they all have smartphones, and initially you will not have that much of effect. But as the time goes and the stretching and the contraction and the flexion goes on in the front of the neck, over a period of time, you will eventually develop something. I mean, most of us, nearly 70 to 80% of any one of us at some point of our lives will end up having some pain or discomfort in our neck. But we just don't know when it happens.
All right. And speaking of children, especially if they are already on gadgets and devices from a young age, will there be an impact considering their musculoskeletal system is still developing? So would the impact be actually almost irreversible in a way? What would be happening there?
Actually, it's contrary because the young teenagers, the muscles are still able to adapt that kind of a pressure. But as time goes by, more towards the young adults or even the older group, then you cannot sustain this type of repetitive strain that goes on a daily basis. And that's when you start to have problems. That's why it's good for us to be aware at at this stage that our young children, the teenagers, also need to be aware that there is something called TechSnack. And yes, you can do something about it. And we don't want to end up going to a stage where it is irreversible.
Mm. But that's not to say that even young children or teenagers should be spending a lot of time in that posture either, right?
No, definitely not. Because as time goes, like I mentioned, initially you will not actually feel anything. You will not have much effect on it. But as time goes, it will eventually catch up. And you will end up having some pain, some discomfort. And it also predisposes to other worrisome complications or side effects like pinched nerves, or in the long run, you also end up having things like spondyloarthropathies, you know, other complications that can come together with that.
All right, let's talk a little bit about that later when we come back from the break, because I'd really like to sort of break it down a little bit, because you say we will eventually be experiencing spasms, soreness, discomfort, but what exactly is going on, right? What are the different areas that are being affected, and what are the complications, and what can we do about it? So we'll go for a quick break and come back to find out more about that. If you have questions for Dr. John, we're discussing text neck. You know, and that's the posture that we spend sort of hunched over our smartphones or other devices. And if you have anything that you'd like to find out about your particular posture or problems that you think may be related to this, you can call us at 03-7733-2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, or tweet us at BFM Radio. Get those questions in, and we'll try to address them when we come back from the break. I'm speaking to Dr. John DeCruz, consultant orthopedic and trauma surgeon from Park City Medical Center. Stay tuned, we'll be right back. BFM 89.9. Good afternoon. Welcome back to Health and Living with me, T. Xiao Yi. Today, my guest is Dr. John DeCruz, consultant orthopedic and trauma surgeon from Park City Medical Center. We're discussing text neck. Well, not really a medical definition, but describes the tendency that we have to adopt a certain kind of posture when we are using too much of our smartphones or devices. And that posture is typically where your head is leaning forward, your shoulders are sort of hunching in, your neck is bending excessively. And this is putting a lot of strain on the neck, on the shoulders, on the back of the head. You know, Dr. John just absolutely shocked me just now when he explained that if your neck is bending at an angle of 60 degrees, it's basically, or your head rather, is sort of bending forward at an angle of 60 degrees. You're placing a weight equivalent to 27 kilograms on the neck. That's how much, you know, the neck is having to bear in terms of its burden. What we want to do is find out what exactly, you know, it's not just about bearing up with that initial discomfort and then hoping it'll go away. There could be long-term consequences, and that's what I want to find out. Get your questions coming in for Dr. John, 03-7733-2900 or WhatsApp 018-789-8899. So let's talk about what is bringing patients to your clinics, Dr. John? What kinds of complaints are they coming in with? And, you know, which parts of those areas are actually involved?
Okay, so patients that come to see me, majority of them come for pain. Some of them come for stiffness. I get up one fine morning, and I just can't move my neck. It just feels so stiff. So the common presentation is stiffness, soreness of the neck, being unable to turn the neck left or right, or even look up and even look down. And of course, pain. When I talk about pain, you have generally two types of pain. You have localized pain. That means the person or the patient actually points to one exact spot. So we call it trigger point. Or they may have pain that radiates, or the pain that distributes to a certain area, like the commonest area is at the top of your shoulders, where the trapezius muscles are, just at the base of the neck. That's a common area. at the base of the head and also in between the shoulder blades. So they can come with this type of presentation. Rarely they come with presentations of sudden onset of weakness. They are unable to hold things properly. It tends to fall off their hands, and they have some form of numbness which distributes to the hands. But most commonly is the pain that brings them to my clinic.
And are those muscles or nerves that are involved?
Initially, it's muscles, but eventually it will end up affecting the nerves. We call it pinched nerves or prolapsed disc that end up sort of pressing onto the nerve. And these nerves originate from the neck. So as these nerves originate from the neck, they can radiate down to the hand, and sometimes they come in forms of tingling, numbness, or excruciating pain or throbbing pain that comes all the way from the neck to the hand in some cases, yes.
And is that a case of where the problem has been left unaddressed too long and it progresses to that point?
Yes, there actually a lot of people, they are not really aware of the sitting position that they are in every day and the posture. So they get so caught up with their daily life, their work, their smartphones, watching movies, texting, that they forget the posture is doing a slow number on them, you know, over a period of time. And when they come to me, it's normally not 1 or 2 days history. It's more like a few months of history of neck pain, having pain coming on and off. So sometimes when the pain becomes too unbearable, and then they come to seek for help. Yeah.
All right. So I've read that this can actually also lead to issues that you may feel, something like headaches. And I can imagine that something, again, people would brush off or, you know, attribute to other causes. How often are headaches also related to this kind of posture?
Okay, there's something called cervicogenic headache. They are very closely related to what goes on in the neck. And this type of headache typically comes from the back of the neck, radiates up to the back of the head. Sometimes it can even come to the front and even at the back, to the back of the eyes. Sometimes you can have abnormal sensation or numbness over the back of the ears. This also happens commonly when there's a pinched nerve at the back of the neck, which is called occipital nerve. There is just a few nerves that run at the back of the neck, and these nerves can be pinched, they can be inflamed. Together with the sore muscles or the tight muscles, they can present with a type of headache. But they normally put the hand at the back of the head and say, my headache kind of feels at the back of the head, not really the front, which is a different type of presentation. Yeah.
All right. I feel myself completely tensing up and experiencing everything that you are explaining. And I'm sure all of us feel it to some extent. And at the same time, we probably normalize a lot of it as well. And yes. Like you said, we adapt to a certain extent, don't
yes.
we?
Yeah. So it's not all bad news. There is a lot of good news, because majority of us eventually do heal from this type of pain or this type of numbness. I can say about 1/3 of people, if you take a group of people for 1 year, 1/3 of them will eventually completely heal from this type of pain. Another 1/3 of them will have pain intermittently. Unfortunately, about 10% of them do get recurrent episodes of pain. So most of the time, it heals by itself. That's the good news. It's not all bad news. Most of the time, if we do some posture correction, we are aware of the situation, we take some necessary precautions, it will definitely heal about 80 to 90% of the time. Mm-hmm. Only a small group of people end up needing more help, further treatment, but most of them get away with good posture, proper strength training for the neck, and they're all right.
So what would this good posture look like? Because presumably, you're not telling people to stop using their devices.
Yes,
you know, that's part and parcel of our lives. But it's about learning how to adopt the right posture.
Correct, yeah.
So what would that look like?
So what I would suggest and what is described is, like I said, you need to make sure that your ear and your shoulders are in one plane so that if you need to bend forward to look at your device, maybe bring the device closer to you. Bring it up so that your head do not bend too much. That is one way to help to reduce this repetitive strain on your neck. Or you have the device put on a certain platform or maybe on the table, so you do not need to bend excessively to look at the device. And also, example, like, if you need to hold a heavy device, maybe change hands often or take frequent breaks. You don't need to look at that for 4 hours. You can take breaks maybe every half an hour, put the device down, get up, take a slow walk, stretch yourself up, extend your neck and do some stretching exercises, which I can explain to you. But sometimes I need to show it to my patients for them to understand rather than through the radio, you know?
Okay, fair enough.
Yeah.
But even that the corrective behavior of bringing the device sort of more to your eye line so that you're not hunched over looking at it, right? But in practical terms, I don't see someone being able to hold their device up in front of them for a long period of time as well. Is that practical?
It depends on the situation. Like, for example, if you need to put your hand up for a long period of time, you need to find some support for your hand. Because if you just hold it up in the air, you will end up having other problems in your forearms or in your arm, because your hands cannot take that long period of time that holding that in the same position. You can do so many other things in terms of getting used to a different position. Like I mentioned, you know, you can take frequent breaks, put it on the table. Things like that actually make a lot of difference. You know, we don't expect our patients, or we don't expect people to hold up the device. It's not practical, and it's actually quite painful. You know, I've tried it myself, and it's not practical at all. But we should make effort to be aware of our posture, and then take frequent breaks or change the posture and change the position. That makes a better change.
And what about work posture? What can we do to make our workplace or our desk or sitting position more friendly towards the ideal posture?
Okay, I always tell my patients, and most of them have desk jobs, and then when they come to me, I always give them some basic guides. One of it is, when you sit on the chair and the table, with the table and the computer in the front, you imagine your elbow making a 90 degrees of an angle, your hip makes a 90 degrees angle, your knee makes a 90 degrees angle, and your ankle makes a 90 degrees angle.
So flat, your feet should be flat.
Your feet should be flat on the ground. Your ankle is on a 90 degrees. Your knee is on a 90 degrees. So that is an ideal position. So that is an ideal height. So if the height of the chair is too low, you won't be able to make a 90 degrees of your hip as well as your knee joint. So that is an assessment of how correct of a height that you need to sit on a longer period of time. As well as the computer should be at least at the eye level or on the table where you sit. And talking about the working zone, so if you want to be having a comfortable working zone, you need to have at least 25 centimeters of a radius in front of you, which you use the most common and daily routine things that you do. The other things that you is not so common for you, you keep it away from you so that you don't need to continuously stretch up and down or turning right or left to get something and refocusing your attention. So keep we always have like a safe working zone. So a 25 centimeter of radius in front of you is a safe working zone.
All right. Yeah. Just looking at our workspace here, everything we're doing everything wrong. but also being desk bound and being glued to our devices all the time also means we're moving around a lot less. What's right. the impact of that?
So like I've seen more patients coming during the MCO, I mean after or during the MCO, because we all have to end up working from home, most of us. So because of that, there's always a change of ergonomics of how we sit and how we work from home and how we work from at work is totally different.
Yes.
So a lot of changes has ended up causing more problems in terms of tech neck or in terms of shoulder pain or back pain. There's definitely an impact, especially those who work from home, because we tend to be concentrating. At least we are trying to concentrate on our work, but then we have a lot of disturbance on at the sides, you know, children, family, things like that. So yes, it there is a lot of difference in the recent past. Maybe in 1 or 2 years, I've seen much more cases of neck pain and shoulder pain and head pain or headache because of the change of posture.
Yeah. All right, just very quickly, when you talked about a majority of us will be able to, these problems can heal by themselves if we are doing these corrective behaviors, we're correcting our posture, we're just being more mindful about what we're doing. But there are complications like pinched nerves and things like that. So how would those be addressed?
Well, when they come to me, they have already tried medication, they've already tried some physiotherapy, they've tried their own home exercises, but they seem to have the pain and it seems to go on and on. So I would need to do some further test examination. Normally, I advise for an MRI scan so we can have a more clearer picture what's going on. Is there a prolapsed intervertebral disc? Is there muscles involved? Is there any bony changes? So all this helped me to come to a conclusion or more like a diagnosis. What are we dealing with? And after that, then I have a plan for them. Of course, we always go stepwise. We start with medication. We go for some physiotherapy. And during the physiotherapy sessions, they are also taught the stretches that you need to do. And normally, after 2 to 3 weeks, you should be able to see some effect. If that doesn't work, then we look at other forms of treatment, which is another good news that we do not need to do surgery for most of these type of problems. Majority of them can be treated with very minimally invasive or most of the time some form of injections that can help you out.
What kinds of injections and what do they do?
Okay, we generally have what we call radio frequency ablation. Those are also a form of injection which is targeted to the joints in our necks to help us to eradicate the pain that is coming from the joints as well as from the muscles. Then we have other types of injections which is called laser discectomy, which is also a form of injection using some form of laser heat to help to shrink the prolapsed disc. And then you have other forms of injections, which are called epidurals, which I think is quite common. People have heard about epidurals, but they all differ in the indication and what type of presentation that the patient comes with.
All right. Yeah. So when you said earlier that in a small minority, there will be people who have intermittent pain or problems, they would fall under this group where it may be due to pinched nerve, prolapsed disc.
Yes.
And then you would go through that process that you've just talked about.
Yes.
And you know, you mentioned right at the beginning that text neck is a term coined by a chiropractor.
Yes.
So would seeing a chiropractor help? Would going for massages help?
Going for massages definitely help, because sometimes the problem is just a tight muscle, or what we call a muscle knot, or what we call a trigger point. So massages do help. Seeing a chiropractor, some of my patients have come to me. They've already seen chiropractors. They've already done the necessary treatment and exercises, and they still come back with some form of pain. So yes, you can try and go for this type of massages or see a chiropractor. But the most important thing for me is you need to know what is the diagnosis first. You need to understand what are you having first before going and seeing a chiropractor. Because to know exactly what you're having or getting a proper diagnosis is utmost importance when it comes to this type of problem, especially back pain or even neck pain.
And finally, Dr. John, what is your advice to ensure long-term sustainable behavior change? Because we can correct our posture now while we're aware of it. It heals by itself. But a few months down the road, perhaps we may forget, right? So looking to the longer term, I suppose, how do we become more conscious that our posture really can affect our long-term well-being?
Okay, for me, I think the awareness is the most important. We should be aware of this issue, and then only we can take action. Secondly, we have to be aware of our posture. Every time we sit, initially it will be difficult because it is more like you're forcing yourself to put yourself into a certain position. But eventually, if you do it on a regular basis, it becomes a form of a habit. And when that happens, that takes care of a lot of this type of discomfort. And also simple lifestyle changes. Initially, yes, you will find it a bit difficult, but in a long run, the simple changes that I mentioned just now, or I was explaining just now, goes a long way. And very important, we must learn to do the neck stretches and some form of strengthening exercises. Simple stretching exercises also goes a long way.
All right. Yeah. Thank you so much, Dr. John.
Thank you. Having me.
I've been speaking to Dr. John De Cruz, consultant orthopedic and trauma surgeon from Park City Medical Center. We've been discussing text neck. And you've been listening to Health and Living on The Bigger Picture, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, The Business Station.